Well, first of all, good morning, Church on the Rock.
My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock, and that's kind of how we get started. And I was about to run into my scripture, but I was like, nah, we got to get started the way we always get started. So what I want you to do is respond and say, good morning, Rashad, if this is your first time here. We're very thankful for our guests. We don't call you visitors. We call you guests because we are expecting God to bring you our way. We are expecting God to nudge your hearts and bring you in. So you're not visitors, you're guests that we were waiting on. Thank you for being here. We are so appreciative that you let God steer you this direction. We hope you feel the love, light, and life of Christ right here. But when I say good morning, Church on the Rock, you say good morning, Rashad, and we'll get rolling. Good morning, Church on the Rock!
Good morning, Rashad!
Man, let's get it going. Let's get it going. So last week, we started a series called Sorry, We're Closed. Sorry, We're Closed. And it was really, really ironic because we had the ice and we almost closed, and that would have been a really bad way to start the series. And I was like, I need to be more mindful of the titles because I almost, you know, like spoke something into existence, maybe. But here's the thing. This we had a series called the Super Bowl, and we examined our inner selves individually as Christians. We looked at this bowl and we were like, what is the fruit that is in that bowl? What is the reason for the bread in that bowl? What's our motivations? All these things. And we were really convicted about ourselves individually. The natural progression now as we start looking at ourselves is to look inside of our church. And this goes for not just Church on the Rock, but if you're here from another church, this goes for you too. Sorry We're Closed is asking ourselves, what are we doing as a church? Whether it be here, whether it be where you come from, what are we doing as Christians that looks at the outsiders and says, sorry, we're closed? We're going to be in Acts chapter 11. We're going to be in verses 22 through 24, but I want you to know that to bring you up to speed, we started off just kind of telling the background story of Acts, how Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he said, hey, you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. Well, things start going really good in like those first six chapters. The church is growing, it's multiplying, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they got very comfortable just being satisfied with Jerusalem. It didn't matter that Jesus said, you will go to Judea, Samaria, all the ends of the earth. I mean, we got like 8,000 people right here in Jerusalem. Why we got to go anywhere? We're comfortable. You look like me, you talk like me, you believe like me, you walk like me. I don't need to go anywhere. I can stay right here. Well, then there's the martyr of Stephen, who was a great evangelist who believed, who defended the faith to the point of death. And it started this persecution in Acts 8:1. So Acts 1:8 goes to Acts 8:1. That's pretty neat. And it shakes some stuff up where people are forced to disperse because of the persecution that's happened in Jerusalem. So sometimes we said last week that God will shake some things up to get you to do what he's called you to do. Some things got shaken up in Jerusalem, and they dispersed all over Judea, Samaria, and they came to a place called Antioch. And last week, we looked at some of the characteristics of the people who were there. There were some who only spoke to the Jews. We said that they were closed-minded. Basically, they were only going to speak to people who looked just like them. And you know what? That happens today in the church. Even here at Church on the Rock, as we've begun to grow, as we've had people come in and adapt and kind of assimilate into our culture, we get real caught up in like, I'm comfortable now. Like before when we started this, when we first moved over here and we got big kind of overnight, I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't sure this is what I wanted to do. But now I know pretty much everybody, at least by face, and we're Facebook friends, and it's all love and happiness. And then I say, hey, start thinking about two services. Oh, I don't know about that. That means more people from the outside might have to come in, and more strangers and more faces I don't know, and we might lose some of that being comfortable, right? And we said because of that mentality, we're basically saying, sorry, we're closed. Speaking to people who didn't necessarily look like them, didn't walk like them, didn't talk like them, and we said, why can't we do that? Well, we make up excuses. See, we close our mouths and say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to preach, Phil. I'm not a pastor. That's not my responsibility, but I'm sorry, the Great Commission says, go make disciples, right? That's for everybody who calls himself a Christian, calls themselves a disciple, and a disciple makes a disciple. So we had to eliminate that excuse, because if we won't go out and share the gospel, then sorry, we're closed. We don't want you here. We only want to talk to other Christians. We only want to talk to people who believe already. We want the easy stuff. We don't want to go talk to somebody who's on drugs or struggling with alcohol or doesn't believe in God whatsoever. We only want to talk to people that we can feel good when we talk to, right? Like, I just want to sit down and talk to you, Johnny, because you already know what I'm going to say, and you're going to amen me and yes, sir me and all that. I don't want no tension right here, so we become closed-mouthed. And then we talked about being closed membership. Basically, it says that the hand of the Lord was with them and the church grew. But we don't believe in the hand of the Lord. We believe that we shouldn't move forward until we do all these other things that we put in place, because it's what we're doing that's going to win people to the kingdom, right? It's our programs, it's our ministries, it's our structure, it's our, and there's a place for that. Don't get me wrong. There's a place for all of that. But when we let that keep us from moving forward, we're looking at God and saying it's what we do that adds to the kingdom, not what you do. And we have closed our membership, and we said, so that is a way of us saying, sorry, we're closed. Well, we're going to continue on with verses 20 through 24. I want to read it real quick. Acts 11, verses 22 through 24. Give me that right there. It says, the news about them reached them, being the people who were preaching and started the church in Antioch. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Keep going. And then it says, then when he arrived, Barnabas, and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And finally, it says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. So we're going to open this one up. I'm going to start with my first point. Go back to verse 22. We're going to ask ourselves this, though, for our first point. What is being heard about us? What is being heard about us? That is my first point. Look at that. The news about them, those who planted the church in Antioch, reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas. I have a question. Do we even have, let's start here. Have you ever been nervous about what somebody heard about you? Like, I don't know if y'all remember, maybe y'all been saved your whole lives, okay, but I haven't, all right? So what happens is sometimes people will come up to me and say, oh, you're Rashad? Oh, I heard about you. I immediately am like, oh, man. Did they hear about Rashad pre-Christ? Or did they hear about Rashad, the pastor of Church on the Rock? And I get a little nervous because I know some things I've done before I'm not too proud of, right? But have you ever been in that situation where you're nervous when somebody says, I heard about you? You know, and we do it jokingly. Yeah, raise your hand. Amen. Thank you, brother. Help me out here. I need somebody to actually say yes, all right? But when somebody walks up to you and they're like, oh, you're that person? Oh, I heard about you. Here's my question. What would people say they've heard about us here at Church on the Rock? And maybe you're not a part of Church on the Rock, but what would they say they've heard about you and your church? See, news reached Jerusalem about the great things that were going on in Antioch, right? But what would they say about Church on the Rock? What would they say about us? And what are you doing to do something about what's being said about us? Think about this. Because this would have been 500 miles. Jerusalem to Antioch would have been 500 miles. That's like from here to Topeka, Kansas or something like that, right? But let's ignore that for right now. Let's just make it a little bit more real. What are they saying in Brownsburg, Indiana about Church on the Rock? Is this rhetorical? You ain't got to answer that, brother. Just think about it. But you know what? Because of that, people will say, they talk during the sermon at Church on the Rock. And I'll be like, amen, we do. That's something we do. No, but look at this. Thank you, brother. What are they saying about us in Brownsburg, Indiana about Church on the Rock? And you know what? Let's go a little closer to home. What are the kids saying about church because of you? Maybe some of your spouses aren't here right now. What are they saying about church because of you? See, this makes us have to look inside at what's going on, at the actions we're living. I asked you last week, I said, would you be like Stephen? Would you die for your faith? And people were like, yeah, I would die for my faith. And a couple hands went up. Then I said, okay, that's great. Would you live for your faith? Would you actually stop sinning for your faith? I mean, you would go to the extreme and die. Will you go to the minimal things and just live a sacrificial life for your faith? And them hands start coming down. Well, I don't know about all that. I would die, but I don't know if I would live. But that's what's being said about not just our church, but Christians in general. I mean, that's why we're labeled the hypocrites and the holier than thous, and you say one thing, but you do another. It's because we do. We do, and that's what's being heard about us. Like, we say one thing, come to Church on the Rock, let's post it on Facebook, awesome service, it was great, and then we post some hateful stuff right after that dealing with the politics in America. And it's like, so what's being heard about Church on the Rock? I don't want to go to Church on the Rock. I don't want to go to church. Because every Christian I see is just posting things that are more dividing and then want to post a sermon. But is that important? Or the kids. The kids are like, well, mom and dad are one way in church. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Then they cussing each other out at home. What are the kids hearing? What is the community seeing? What are the people seeing? What is being heard about us? Do we even have news worth telling? Like, ask yourself that. Do you even have news worth telling? I mean, we should. We have the gospel. I mean, it says in the Bible that the gospel is the power for salvation, correct? In it is the power for salvation. So we got news worth telling, but what are we talking about? We're talking about everything else but the gospel. And the kids are picking that up. The neighbors are picking that up. You go to church, but they don't know you go to church. Or if they do know you go to church, they don't know what church you go to. They just know you leave on Sunday morning. Why? Because you won't even talk to your neighbor. So when they do find out what church you go to, they're like, huh, I don't want to go to that church. They won't even reach out to me, let alone the world. What's being heard about? What news is news reaching anybody's ears? And if so, what news is it? And it does have everything to do with you. Whether you're here at Church on the Rock or the church that you belong to that you're here from, you have everything to do with what's being heard about this church. You can actually do something about that. Like I said, I'd rather people come in here and give us a bad review on Facebook because we hug too much. Man, I went to Church on the Rock first experience. They just hug too much. Ugh, 1 star. I'll take that. I'll take it. 1 star for hugging too much. I will take it. But if they come in this church and they're like, you know, nobody even noticed I was there. I sat down and nobody came and spoke to me. I tried to smile at somebody, but they gave me that face that we talk about that we can't say in the church stand. That face that I know is the face that you're not supposed to talk about, right? They give me that face or nobody helped me with where to take my kids or maybe it's something like this. At the end of service, the kids seemed out of control. That may actually steer somebody away. And we love our kids, and we know our kids is rowdy, but what can we do to improve that? What can we do to improve that? How can we step up and say, you know what, Jason, to get you away from back there, I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to serve after service just to give them a place to be until the parents are ready to go. That changes the perspective of what's being said about Church on the Rock. These things matter. These things really matter. But what are we doing about it? And then the kids, once again, they're watching you. They're listening. They're a sponge. They're in the household saying, why is it I'm only learning about God on Sunday from my youth pastor and not from my mom and dad? Real silent, huh? I need to crack a joke right now, don't I? No, look at this. Tyler got me this, so this is really fresh. Thank you, Ty. It's a Black Panther shirt. Black Panther, the movie, okay? The movie. Excellent movie. I don't know. Has anybody heard about this movie yet? I'm not giving any spoilers, but has anybody heard about it? What did you hear about it? You heard nothing but good stuff, right? Nothing but good stuff. That's how Church on the Rock should be. Like, if people are praising a movie like Black Panther, how much more should they be praising the work that God is doing right here? You see what I'm saying? How much more should they be praising the work that's going on here to the point that people are hearing about it and they're like, hey, we got to send somebody to go make sure that's legit. Because this is what happens. As we grow and as things keep changing here, people are going to start questioning, well, is that change because they're compromising the gospel? Is that change because they're doing things that aren't biblical? And they're going to send people to come see just because they're trying to hate on us. I mean, that's what happens. That's exactly what happens. But when they come, what will they see in you? What will they see in the teaching, in the worship? What will they see in the serving? What will they see in the parking lot? And this is why you start thinking, you have to start wrestling with those things, because if they come and there's no room, if they come and there's no parking, if they come and there's no availability to walk through those doors, we're looking at them and saying, sorry, no, you heard some great things about us, but we're closed. And that hurts, because at that point, it is breaking my heart the way it would break God's. God says, I'm doing a magnificent thing in Brownsburg, Indiana. I'm doing a magnificent thing at Church on the Rock, and you're closing your doors because you're comfortable. You're closing your doors because it's going to stretch us a little bit. You're closing your doors because it's a little inconvenient. News is traveling about the work I'm doing, and you're closing your doors. And you have to think about that. As we get ready to move into this new season, I'm telling you, outside of last week, these numbers aren't changing. That parking lot's not getting any bigger out there. What are we doing intentionally to open our doors to more people who need a family? I just posted it on Cameron's Facebook, who need a family like Cameron has when they're going through stuff like Cameron's going through. But those people are knocking on our doors. God is sending them to our doors, and we're sorry we're closed because we're still trying to get everything together right in here. We're not worried about what's going on out there. And as soon as we do that, we have missed the mission. Remember, Church on the Rock is about building his body. That's the internal thing that we're doing. That's the family atmosphere you got here. That's the five non-families. That's the Bible studies. That's the men and women's fellowship. We're building the body. That is the internal mission. But the external mission is to break our barriers. We cannot break barriers if we're closed. All we're going to be doing is breaking hearts. So think about that. What is being heard about us? And what are you doing about it? Not just us, Church on the Rock, but us Christians. What is being heard about us, and what part are you playing in that? How faithful are you being after Sunday? That's not just for the adults, that's for the teenagers. Teenagers, what are y'all doing? And there's only a couple of them saying, he talking to me? Dad, I don't want to come back because he's talking to me. No, seriously though, it's for anybody who considers themselves a believer. You have a responsibility to have something to do with what's going on right here at Church on the Rock, to show what's going on in the kingdom. What's being heard about the kingdom because of your walk? What's being heard about the kingdom because of your Facebook post or because of your conduct at work? Or what's being heard about Church on the Rock or about the kingdom at your workplace? Is anything being heard? Like, if we have good news, why don't we share it? I've always said that. I don't understand why we'll tell people about Black Panther. We'll tell people about what food reference I want to make today. Penn Station. I mean, we'll tell people about all these other things, but we won't tell people about the actual power of salvation. And we'll blame it on everything. We'll give every reason that we won't share the gospel. Every reason in the world that we won't share the gospel, but we're quick to tell somebody about our favorite book, favorite movie, favorite this, favorite that, and we won't tell anybody about our God. So ask yourself, what's being heard about us, and is anything being heard about us? The Christians in Antioch, news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. This would have been like the mother church. Like I said, this is the one that kept growing, and then there was the persecution and they dispersed. So when they heard about this, they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Now, some scholars believe this happened during the same time that Peter had the conversion with Cornelius. Some people believe this happened after. Either way you look at it, no matter which scholar you want to go with, the fact of the matter is it still would have been something new, like, hold on, what do you mean Gentiles are being saved? Like, even the church at Jerusalem had this mindset of, what do you mean there's salvation happening in the heathen city of Antioch? It was the third largest city back then. It was Rome, Alexandria, and then Antioch. It would have been like similar to Las Vegas, like Sin City in its time. Like they said, there's a river that traveled from Antioch to Rome, and they said because of that river, filth poured into Rome. They were saying that it came from Antioch because Antioch was that immoral. Antioch was that bad. So in Antioch, you're telling me there's a church that believes in Jesus Christ and it's thriving? Oh, no. No, that's not possible. I mean, those are heathens. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. They got tattoos. They got piercings. Their pants are sagging. They listen to that hippity-hoppity stuff. I just talked about myself right there. but we're laughing, but this is what we do. This is what we do. We get real judgmental real quick because it doesn't look like the Christianity we've painted in our minds. So Jerusalem said, send Barnabas. A, he's technically one of them. If you go back to Acts 4, go back to Acts 4 real quick. If you go back to Acts 4:36, you'll find this about Barnabas. His name is actually Joseph. Some of you may not know that. That's pretty neat. But his name was actually Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means sons of encouragement. Son of encouragement. So that's who Barnabas is. That's the son of encouragement. Place courage in. So they send off Barnabas, and then let's go to 11:23 real quick. Let's jump back to our main text. They send off Barnabas, and when he arrived, he witnessed the grace of God. He rejoiced, began to encourage them, all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. So here's the next thing I'm saying. After we say what is being heard about us, what is being seen among us? What is being seen among us? So what is being heard about us? What is being seen among us? When somebody comes, what are they seeing when they're here? Barnabas witnessed the grace of God in the church of Antioch. He saw, how do you see the grace of God? How do you actually see that, Dave? Like, how do you see the grace of God, bro? Like, I had to wrestle with that. What was he seeing that he saw the grace of God? Well, for one, when you look at that word, you're seeing God at work. The grace, the enabling of God. People are coming to Christ. Lives are being transformed. Let's look around this church. Are lives actually being transformed here? When people walk in, maybe it's somebody you invited that's known you for a while, seeing some changes in your Facebook post. They walk in here and they're like, man, there's actual transformation going on in this place. Barnabas came and he witnessed the grace of God. He was seeing transformed lives. He's like, I'm in this heathen city and I'm seeing believers. Sometimes people will walk in a church, any church, and they don't even see believers. They just see the world. I just see a whole bunch of worldly people dressed up. And here we don't even dress up. So they just, what are they seeing here? What are they actually seeing when they come to Church on the Rock? And what are you doing about that? So they sent Barnabas, and Barnabas came, and he witnessed the grace of God, and he rejoiced. Now, I love this because it makes me think about how we get in our ministry sometimes. We get fired up when it's something we're a part of, right, John? Like, man, I did this, and boom, John, I need you. Man, look what I did, boy, right? And then somebody else comes along, and maybe Lewis is like, man, I had this great thing happen, and, you know, come see this, and I'll come see what he did, and I ain't rejoice. I'm just like, yeah, that's all right. We are holy haters, y'all. We really are. Barnabas came, saw work being done that had nothing to do with him. This work had been started. This work had been planted by the unknown, unnamed, uneducated, untrained, just preaching the gospel, and he witnessed it, and he rejoiced. Shouted, hallelujah, look what God is doing. But if we ain't a part of it, sometimes we don't even acknowledge it. We won't even hit the like button, yeah? Because it's something that we weren't a part of, or maybe it's not Church on the Rock. We can't shout for what's going on at Connection Point. We can't shout for what's going on at Bethesda. We can't shout for what's going on down the street. We only want to shout for something going on at Church on the Rock. What's being seen about us? You see, I love that. Yesterday, we had some of our church family go downtown with another church plant and serve the poor. And it wasn't about whether it was New Creation, whether it was Church on the Rock. It was about the 200 people who received food. What's being seen when those people downtown who may not get another meal see that? They're not worried about what church did it. They just know that these people who believe in God met their needs. When do we start moving like that? When do we start just being excited about anything where we see the grace of God, the divine enablement of God happening? I love it when I hear, when you didn't come to church because you was going to go to the baptism. Was it your nephew? Yes, yes. When I heard about that, I said, girl, you better not be here. You better go celebrate that baptism. You ain't got to be here. We don't need them numbers like that. We need somebody showing that young man that it's amazing that he is taking that step of obedience. You don't have to be here. We don't need attendance that bad. We need people cheering on for the kingdom to be added to, whether it's here, whether it's at another church. All we're concerned with is that it's biblically sound, right? But we celebrate the work that God is doing in other places. So what's being seen when people come here? Are we holy haters in our holy huddle? I ain't got no other H's, so I'm just going to stop it right there. Think about that. When people come in, are we clicked off? I mean, if we're doing what we said we're going to do, if we're involved in our 5-9 families, okay? If we're involved in 5-9 families, or if we're going to some of our men and ministry meetings, I mean, our men and women's ministry meetings, and these other things that we provide throughout the week, then why I got to spend so much time with you on Sunday morning, too? I should be seeing you throughout the week so I can use my Sunday morning for those who are coming in the door so they don't feel like sorry we're closed because we're only talking to people we know. I mean, one fear of doing two services at Church on the Rock is this: we will lose our family feeling. That's a fear of mine. That's a fear. Like, we worked hard, for those of you who don't know, we worked very hard to break barriers just within here. And we worked really, really, really hard for that. Here's my thing, though. If I only see you for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, you're not my family. Think about that. Think about your true family right now. Think about your spouse or your children. What if you only saw them an hour and a half on Sunday? How much family is that? How much family is that? Let's just call it what it is. How much family time is that? If I only see you an hour and a half on Sunday, if I only talk to you an hour and a half on Sunday, and I don't talk to you for the rest of the week, then Dave, we're not really family. We're just church members that go to the same. It's just this country club that we visit once a week, and it's a country club. It's a gym membership. But see, I'm not worried about us going to see. I had that fear, and then I had to challenge myself. I'm not worried about us going to two services because I spend so much time with each and every one of you all week long. It's not just Sunday for me. It's all week. And don't give me the, well, you're a pastor. I don't want to hear that. I was doing this before I was a pastor because I love you guys that much. I love God's children that much. I want to spend time the way Acts 2 said, from house to house, day to day, that much. And it doesn't even have to have a label on it. I don't need it to be 5-9 family or men's meeting, my brother's keeper, women's rest. I don't need all them titles. I just need you to have some space and availability. Phil, how many times I just drop by because I'm just out in Pittsburgh? I'm like, hey, tuck shop is open. I'm walking in. Because I just want to spend time with them. But see, the way we're living and the fears we have, the way his shop says open, ours is saying closed. Because we're scared of losing things that we honestly, if we care that much about it, we would put more time into it throughout the week. Not just Sunday morning. There wouldn't be a fear. So what are people, what are they seeing? It says he came. It says, give me that verse. Give me the verse real quick. It says that when Barnabas showed up, he witnessed the grace of God. He rejoiced and he began to encourage them. Encourage, you know, like place courage in, not discourage. This is a key point. Look at this. Encourage them with resolute heart or with all their heart to remain true to the Lord. When people come here, what do we show or what is being seen about what we are encouraging people to remain in? Think about this. People get caught up in the doctrine, once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. I told you guys, I'm not a fan of that terminology. I prefer perseverance of the saints, because perseverance of the saints says if you are saved, you will remain, you see that word, remain, abide true to the Lord. See, once saved, always saved kind of gives you this cheap grace. Hey, I said a couple words, I said a prayer, I went in the water, I came out the water, and I am good no matter what I do. Once saved, always saved. Nah. See, Barnabas came down and he encouraged them with all of their heart to remain true to the Lord, meaning you are saved if you persevere. You actually have to remain. You actually have to finish, and you see it all throughout the Bible. Yes, yes, perseverance of the saints. If you are saved, you are saved indeed. Yes, if you are saved, you have to be saved. And how do we know that? Well, you will remain no matter what goes on. You will persevere no matter what happens. That's theology right there. That's things that people don't want to wrestle with. And that it's right here. What? Why didn't he just come down and say, hey, you already accepted Christ, just do what you got to do? That's not how he encouraged them. He didn't come down and say, hey, Antioch people. I don't know if that's what they called them, but hey, people from Antioch, you accepted Christ, you're good. Like, don't worry about nothing else. Just go living your life. You said the right stuff. You went under the right water the right way. You did all that stuff good. You're good. Who cares if your life actually changes? Who cares if we don't actually see change, see something turn over, see transformation? Y'all remember Romans 12:1? Give me Romans 12:1 real quick, Leah. Romans 12:1 is going to look at this, and this is the life of a changed person. This is the life of somebody who's actually been saved. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, those are believers, by the mercies of God to what? Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Ooh, that's a word right there. A living and holy sacrifice. You mean I can't just do what I want to do? No, you need to be a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, or which is just logical, is what that really means. Go to verse 2. Verse 2 on this says this right here. He says, and do not be what? Conformed to this world. Because that's not remaining. That's not remaining. That's not remaining true to the Lord. That's remaining true to the world. There are many of us in the church who go through all the rituals, say all the right stuff, but we're still conforming to the world. We're still doing whatever the world is doing. We look no different, and then want to buck our chests up when a pastor says, you need to examine your salvation. You have to examine your salvation. Why? Because somebody saved is not going to be conformed to the world, but will be what? Transformed, right? Like transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You will be transformed and you will be renewed. Check your salvation. I check mine daily. I check mine every day. Just because I'm up here preaching don't make me more saved than anybody. Those who remain true to the Lord. Barnabas came down and thought that it was important to encourage them, or as the Bible says in the Greek, to come alongside them and help them to remain true to the Lord. What is being seen here because of you all? When people come in here, do they see people remaining true to the Lord, or do they just see Sunday Christians? Do they see lives actually being transformed? Do they see you thinking different than the world in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances? Or do they just see, well, this is what they do on Sunday, and there's something completely different Monday through Saturday? Sorry, we're closed. Sorry, we're closed. You can see us on Sunday, but ignore what we're doing Monday through Saturday. Judge us based on just the Sunday morning experience, and people see what's going on Monday through Saturday and they don't want to be here because they're doing that already. They don't need to be here for that. I don't need to walk through those doors and be in this room with a whole bunch of strangers who I already think might or might not be judging me just to find out that you're no different than me during the week. You just do something a little different, 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday. I don't need to be here for that. I don't want to be here for that. So what are they seeing in us? And it's not just sin. It's victory. Are we even walking in victory? The first time something goes wrong in our marriage, we're ready to give up. The first time something goes wrong in our jobs or in our lives or we get a little uncomfortable, God is not good anymore. God is not able anymore. God is nothing. Matter of fact, we're shaking our fist at God because something didn't go right in our lives. Why do I want to be a part of that? Like, where's the hope in that? Where's the victory in that? Where's the God who conquered the grave? Where's he at in your lives when things go, when the minute things go? We're talking about death over here, right? Paul said, oh, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? Like through Christ, you conquered the grave. I'm not scared of anything, nothing. Nothing scares me because the worst this world can do to me is kill me. That is the same mentality Stephen had when he was defending his faith. He's like, yeah, what y'all gonna do, stone me? Yeah, it might hurt a little bit, might get a rock upside the head, but when it's all said and done, I'll be sitting with my Father in heaven. So all you're doing is propelling me to where I want to be anyway, right? So why is it as soon as me and my husband, excuse me, nope. Nope, 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 not here. Do not let that be heard about Church on the Rock. Soon as me and my wife get into it, I'm ready to throw in the towel in my marriage because I believe he can conquer the grave, but he can't conquer my marital problems. I believe he can conquer the grave, but I can't hold my tongue with this person that's getting on my last nerve. I believe he can conquer the grave, but he can't keep me from pressing send on that Facebook post that I know I ain't got no business sending. Let me get in your backyard real quick. Because that's some of us right now, right? If we're being honest, that's me. But remaining true to the Lord is looking at everything from the resurrection and saying, I can overcome all things. Or better yet, as John said, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I can conquer anything that comes my way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, if I'm a believer, is dwelling inside of me. The power that raised Christ from the dead is inside of me. It's in me. So I can conquer all things. I can do the impossible. But we don't walk like that. We don't talk like that. We don't live like that. That's not the example we show. So we're looking at the world and saying, sorry, I know you were looking for hope. You can't find it here. I know you were looking for answers and solutions, but it's not here because I'm going through something right now. When my life is perfect again, then we'll open the doors back up. When things are right in my life, when I feel blessed and all this prosperity gospel stuff, when all that stuff is going right, then we'll open the doors back up. Who cares that the Bible says if you're a Christian, you will be persecuted? Who cares that Jesus said, if they hate you, remember they hated me first? Who cares about that part of the Bible, right? We just want to read out of context about, oh, I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah. While he's going through an exile, you will be here for 70 years in exile. In the context, it's not this verse that you just quote and makes you feel good. It's like, yo, be content in the situation because he's still God. He's still God. So what do people see? Do people come to Church on the Rock, or do people see you in your day-to-day life and actually believe that he is the I am, that he is able to do far and more abundantly than all you could ever think? And like, do you live that life? Does your translation of the Bible in your life actually exemplify that? Because if not, we're just saying, sorry, we're closed. So Barnabas, he came down, he witnessed, sorry, go back to that verse, I'm sorry, that was sitting there for a while. He came down, he witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Next verse and the last verse here. And then, for he was a good man, this is Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were being brought to the Lord, or were brought to the Lord. So my last point is this right here. My last point is, what is being added around us? What is being added around us? So we said, what is being heard about us? What is being seen among us? And what is being added around us? What is being added around us? First of all, ask yourselves this question. If Barnabas came to our church, or maybe the church that you're from, would he stay? Would he want to stay? That's a very good question. I just thought of that. That's a very good, like, if Barnabas came down and was examining this church, would he want to be here? If Barnabas met you, would he want to be alongside you? Would he want to dwell with you based on what's going on, based on the grace of God going on? Or would he be like, mm-mm, I don't want nothing to do with the mess that's going on here? You got to ask yourselves that question. But it says that Barnabas was, go back to the verse for me real quick. It says that Barnabas was a good man, that he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and that numbers were added. That was one man. They already had numbers added because the hand of the Lord was with them. And then here comes this good man, Barnabas, and he sees what's going on, and he rejoices over it. He rejoices over it. He rejoices over it. He sees what's going on, and he partners in with the work, and the Lord adds more. Man, what if we were all good people? Filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire with the Holy Spirit, filled with faith. What if we all actually walked that way in our lives? What if we all had this Barnabas about us, right? What if we all were actually encouraging each other instead of discouraging each other, right? Placing courage in each other. Brother, I believe we can do this together. I believe we can fine-tune some things and go be great for the kingdom, man. The Lord will be with it if we're just faithful, if we're just filled with the Spirit, letting him do the work. The numbers will be added too. And look at this. I love this right here. Considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. We said this last week in verse 21. They weren't brought to Church on the Rock. They weren't brought to Antioch. They were brought to the Lord. Is that not what our focus should be? Amen. Well, if that's the case, then it shouldn't just be a Sunday morning thing. Because on Sunday, you're basically putting on a show to try to win people to Church on the Rock if you're doing it that way. If all you do is put the face on and put your resume on and your highlights on Sunday morning, then you're just trying to run people to this, not to the Lord. And I'm sorry, but John, I didn't sign up for that. And I know when you planted this church, you didn't sign up for that either. So I will not lead the church that way. I will not lead the church that way. I'm calling on you that are members here, and even those who are guests, because you're a part of the same kingdom I'm a part of, and you're still my brother and sister in Christ. There are people even in this room right now who don't believe. Are you giving them more reason to not believe, or are you eliminating those excuses in your walk? Church on the Rock, seriously, let's get it together. Let's get it together. What are we doing to make sure we don't have a sign outside that door that says, sorry, we're closed? In what areas can we step up to make this place more accessible for those who don't know Christ? I am so thankful for Barnabas was a church transfer technically, right? I'm thankful for those of you who knew Christ and he nudged you and you came this direction. I'm thankful for those of you who are maybe at a church and that season is over and you came this direction. But there's a reason that we push back. And anybody that's come here from another church knows we push back. We say, hey, why'd you leave? We don't want you coming just because something went wrong in your preferences at another church. We want you coming because you feel led by God to be here or you moved into the area, something like that. We don't want you just coming here because something went wrong, because things are going to go wrong here. How we respond is what makes us special. It's what makes us different. See, people quit jobs because things go wrong in their preferences. People quit marriages because things go wrong in their preferences. People quit their children because things go wrong in their preferences. Christians don't quit. That's not what we do. So I'm thankful for the church transfers. Amen. We thank you. And if you're new here and maybe you're considering, we do ask that if it's a preference, you go speak to your pastor. That you go speak to your pastor about that. Let him have an opportunity to be a pastor, to actually walk through those problems. And I will hope that if you do come here, you do the same with me before you leave. Let's talk about it first. But our goal and our mission as we are building the body inside is to break barriers outside. And if we're closed, nobody's coming in from the outside. And if we're not getting out there and inviting people, nobody's coming in from the outside. I can't stand that I ain't gonna say I can't stand, but Friend Day that we did earlier this month should be every Sunday. Every Sunday we should be like, man, it's Friend Day. Every Sunday we should be trying to invite somebody that we talk to on a daily basis who doesn't know the Lord. Not just the first Sunday of February because it's the Super Bowl Sunday. Every Sunday. That's what church is. You're not waiting on us, the organization, to put some title on something. You're so fired up, you don't need titles. You don't need titles. We don't need to call nothing a 5-9 family. We just get together. Because we want to be together, because it's what the Bible says. So when do we, Church on the Rock members, when do we step up? When do we step up, stop making excuses, I'm still human. You're also holy. You're holy. You have the power to change lives with what you know right now. You ain't got to go to seminary. We see that. You ain't got to be a preacher or be called a pastor. We see that in this text right here. Read Acts 11 for yourself. You don't have to be any of those things to go out and make a difference in this world, to add to the kingdom, not Church on the Rock. You can do it right now. You can do it this afternoon. My challenge to you is that you do it. My challenge for you is that you don't wait to learn a little more or think about it, that you actually go out and wherever you go to eat this afternoon, share the gospel, or just talk to somebody. Get the waitress number in a good way. That just kind of rolled out there. But seriously, and those of you who are here who do not know God, those of you who are here who don't have that relationship, I want you to know we're sorry as Church on the Rock. I can't speak for all Christians, but we're sorry if we haven't done everything we can to try to reach you. We're going to be better. That is what God has placed on my heart. We will be better in making ourselves here at Church on the Rock more accessible for those who don't have a relationship with Christ. We will walk with you. We will assign somebody to walk with you. It's that important. We want disciples who are making disciples, not disciples who are just sitting down on a Sunday morning. We want people calling you, texting you, checking in on you on Facebook, going to lunch with you, all these things just to show you the love of Christ. And then we want them to teach you more about him in his word. We're here for that. We are truly here for that. This is not the Sunday program. This is a way of life. What you see from me today is who I am every day. That's who I am every day. And I'm asking that the members of this church and the members of the kingdom who are here step up and be the same. Because we're not closed. As long as I am the pastor of this church, we will not be closed. I won't allow for it. If you leave because you get a little uncomfortable, you may just have to leave, because we are supposed to be comfortable being uncomfortable. If God's hand is moving, I'm not going against him. I refuse to. So I'm asking you all to start considering these things. Start considering what's being heard about us because of your individual walk. You speak for us long before somebody comes through that door. Long before somebody hears the worship, long before somebody hears the sermon, they hear you. They see you. So what are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing so that something good is heard about us? So that something good is seen about us? And so that God continues to add as we remain faithful to him? I just want his will to be done. So as we get ready to close out, I want you guys to really take that. I want you to take that into consideration. Like, really take that into consideration. What are you going to change about your walk, your talk? What are you going to change about your Facebook posts? What are you going to change about your conversations? What are you going to change so that numbers are being added because God sees that we're being faithful over the few? And it's not just in your workplace. It's not just in your communities, but start in your house. Just start in your home. Start in your neighborhood. We need you, the kingdom needs you, to be on mission, to say we're open. So if you could please stand up and join us for this last song. If anybody wants to know more about that relationship with Christ, please come speak with me or look for somebody around this church. Anybody here can lead you to Christ. Have a blessed day.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.